Testing 1, 2. Just before we start recording, about a week ago, Eddie asked if I could go and pray for a little girl that. 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I went to pray for a little girl who fell in the pool and drowned. They took her to the Garden City Clinic where she has been in ICU, and there was very limited, there was no interaction from her. She was in a coma, and me and Fatima went and we went to pray for her. And when we got there, they had to phone the mother to get permission because they were not notified that I was going to come. It's difficult to always say what time and when you're going to go to pray for people. We said we waited outside, and then they came to call us to come in. And she's a beautiful little girl. She was lying there, and she's on all these machines, you know, breathing for her, doing everything. And what I want to share with you actually touched me, and I started crying that day. The moment I touched her body, it felt like a power came from me into her. Her whole body began to shake. Her head began to go from side to side. Her arms began to go. Until that time, she had not moved. She had not done anything. And I saw the power of God go into that girl. It was amazing. The following day, the mother put on the group because she's got a whole group that it's unbelievable. She's moving. She's everything. And we just received a message now that there's minimal damage to her. Amen. God is good. Amen. Well, bless God. God is good. Amen. So I'm starting the meeting this way because I know there's some of you. Yeah, you desperately need some kind of a miracle. You know, this family was, I cannot even put myself in that position. They must have been devastated because when one of your kids are lying there, and I want to get you to understand something. We're not recording yet, eh? You'll tell me when we start.
She was like dead.
And she looked dead. And for all intents and purposes, if it wasn't for the machines, there was nothing. You know, what is the definition of hopelessness? It's where she was. There's nothing nobody can do for you. Because as advanced as we are, we can't give life. We can try and keep life going, but we can't give it back once it's gone. But she's got life.
Amen.
She's got life.
I remember that you and me, we spoke life over us.
Yes.
We actually say, devil, you have no right over this
child. Amen. But do you remember what happened the moment I touched her? You know, it was so... That child did not move. She just lay there. And the moment I touched her, but I actually felt something happen. Her whole body began to, it was like life started going back into her. The arms began to move. The head began to move. The legs began to move. Her whole body.
He started crying and then he put his hand over her. And then her whole body was like he said, it was like life went into her.
Amen. And you know what was interesting? We spoke to her, and it looked like she was, even though her eyes didn't open, it looked like she was responding to what we were saying. And the following day, I think on that group, the mother said, even though her eyes are still closed, it now looks like she's listening to them. But she started that day when we went to pray. Amen. Amen. I had one other experience. I want to share this. It's on my heart today to share this because I want to give hope. There's a family here in Springs that had a very bad experience. Somebody in the family actually tried to commit like familial genocide. They tried to kill the entire family. And the boy was shot. He was shot through the head. And from what I understand, either the left or the right-hand side of his brain is gone. You can maybe help me better. JP. And Fernando asked if I could go and pray for this boy. We got together. We got together here by the hospital somewhere there. Right? It's there. Yeah, Parklands. We first got together. There was a group of about 10 people. We prayed outside. And we asked God to go with us and to help us. And only me and one other person was allowed to go in, because this boy was in the most intensive of intensive care. And he was just being held alive by machines. You can imagine. Half of his head is gone. God is my witness. When I walked into that room, I felt something that overpowered my whole being. It felt like my body rose. It felt like I got bigger and bigger and bigger. I know nothing happened to me, but this was the sensation that I had, that what came into me was so big and so powerful that it was too big for that room. It felt like I was trapped in this small little place. And I can't explain what happened, because I have no earthly way of giving it words. But the moment I touched him, it felt like everything that had come into me, whew, went into that boy. That same week, he opened his eyes. He started speaking today. With half a brain, he's as normal as can be. God is good.
Yeah. Mm. When we went to pray for that baby, inside of me, I knew it. God was going to do something after what I saw when she was moving.
Amen. I also knew it.
I knew it.
I did, yeah. I did. God is good. You know, guys, sometimes life is really difficult. And sometimes we feel, are we recording? You can tell, you can start recording. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
You know, I was just sharing a testimony with you now about a baby that we went to pray for that had drowned, and how God has done a miracle for that child. And today, this is what I have on my heart. God wants to encourage people. You know, miracles still happen today. Sometimes when we talk about these things, we talk a little bit tongue in the cheek. You know, it's like we talk these things, but it's debatable whether we really believe that these things still happen. You ask most Christians, does God still perform miracles? Oh, yes, until they need a miracle. Then it's like, oh, I don't know if this is going to happen. Well, I want to tell you today, God really does still do miracles. And I want to say to you that, you know what? We have no idea how close we sometimes are to our breakthrough. You know, they say that it's always darkest just before the dawn. And that's what it's like. You know, sometimes we come into a place where we are in such a pit of despair. We are in such a dark place, and that's exactly when the enemy comes and he tries to tell you that it's not going to change, that it'll not get any better, that why do you even try, because it's useless. Well, I want to remind you that it's always the darkest just before the dawn. We serve a miracle working God. Yes. I understand that God doesn't always operate the way you want him to operate, because you've asked him many times to do this and do this and do this and you didn't see it happen. Well, you're not God. And sometimes what you ask for is impossible at that point in time, because there's other things behind the scenes that have to fall into place. But there's only one person that can gain anything from you becoming despondent and going into the pit of despair and giving up because of dejection and hopelessness. And that's the devil. Because the devil knows that if you give up, then he's won. But until you don't give up, he cannot win. Sometimes he messes you around. Sometimes he gives you a hard time. Sometimes he steals a lot from you. Well, you still serve a miracle working God. He can still change things in, boom, the twinkling of an eye. You know, God is never not in control. But to us, from our human point of view, sometimes we ask the question, but where is God? Why isn't God doing this? Why isn't God doing that? Well, my friend, let me tell you something. God is busy. Whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not, God is busy. But God is busy with his plan, not your plan. And this is one of the things where I know, I've listened to people when they come and talk to me. People get frustrated, people get irritated, people get angry because, but why doesn't it work this way and why doesn't it work that way? I can't answer all your questions, but I can tell you this. God has a foolproof plan. And if you can put your faith in Him and if you can put your trust in Him, you're going to eventually see exactly what it is. The devil wants you to quit. The only way for the devil to win, listen carefully, is if you choose to quit. The devil can't win because he does this and this and this. The devil wins because we give up on life. Because we say it's hopeless. Because we say it's never going to happen. God has faith in you. God says you are well able. Do you know why? Because you were made in His image. Because you have the backing of His entire kingdom. Jesus said to the disciples, don't you know that if I want to, I can call like a whole legion of angels to come and protect me and defend me and help me at any point in time. But this has to happen. But this has to happen. Sometimes bad things have to happen for good things to be established. And we don't like it. We get upset when we go through these things. I want to ask you a question. Do you think Jesus liked to hang on that cross? Listen, yeah, His flesh didn't want to be there. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed and He said, my Father, if it be Your will, let this cup be taken away from me. Because the flesh doesn't like to battle. Raise your hands if your flesh likes to be in the dwang. Well, then we're in the same boat, aren't we? None of us like to be in troubles. None of us like to be in problems. But Jesus understood one thing. If I go through this, and if I allow God's plan to fall into place, the salvation of mankind will be the reward. Clap your hands for the reward of Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand it wasn't easy for Him to do what He did, but He understood that there was a bigger plan at hand. And He understood that if He suffers a bit now, the reward later will be phenomenal, will be awesome, will be great. Auntie, we're still busy with your testimony, but I just want to take a quick detour, all right? I want to read you something from the book of James. Say again. Okay, thank you. I have the auntie's permission to be the preacher today. Amen. I'm just joking. Let's look at the book of James. I like this passage of scripture because every time I read it, it speaks to me. Raise your hands if you had dwang this year. Problems, trials, tribulations. There we go. You should be jumping up and down. All right. Listen to this. You know, I want to tell you something. God has a sense of humor. God, you know, some of us, yeah, we actually have a decent sense of humor. Where you got it from? Well, in whose image were you created? God has a good sense of humor. He says, yeah, consider it pure joy, my brothers. Okay, now listen to this. When I start a sentence like that, consider it, James chapter 1, starting from verse 2. If I start a sentence and I say to you, oh, consider it pure joy, my brothers, it almost looks like I'm leading up to consider it pure joy, my brothers, when your wife loves you and your kids perform and everything is going well in your life. It sounds like that's where I'm going, but that's not. Listen to this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. The car just broke down. Praise God. Where's Rabinovitz? Praise the Lord. Amen. There we go. I toured Portugal with him. And I don't know, he was inspired by some American evangelist or something because the way that he used to roll was... Yeah, anyway, praise the Lord. Yes. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Look at your neighbor and say, many kinds. Now, to give justice to God's word, put on a big smile. Many trials. The bigger the trial, the bigger the smile. So put on your smile. Let me see. No, there you look like a vampire. I'm going to run away now. But I mean, come on, think about it. How many of you know that this is not logical? This is not the way we want to handle things. When you go through trials and tribulations, you want to kick something. You don't want to smile. You don't want to praise God. Glory, hallelujah. But God's word is teaching us that we are different. Look at your neighbor and say, we're different. And listen, yeah, that's got nothing to do with my sexual preference. You understand? We're different because we are down here, but we are from there. Amen? We are from there. Now, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know. Do you know? Probably you don't. Let me show you what you should be knowing. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Now, this is something that is very important, and this is something that you got to learn. Until you come to a place that God sees that you are willing to persevere, God can't bless you. Because perseverance means refusing to give up. Did you understand that? Have you heard that voice, especially when things go bad, that speaks to you and says to you, it's not going to work. You're wasting your time. Oh, don't even go to church today because you know what? You went the last 5 times, asked for prayer, and they prayed for you and nothing changed. Why you want to go to church? Just stay at home. Who's talking to you? Well, I want to tell you something. God doesn't talk that way. But the devil does. Because the devil understands the value of perseverance. It says here, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Now, listen to the following scripture. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may become mature and complete. What must finish its work? Well, sometimes we will have to say, we would want to say, but God must finish his work. No. Perseverance must finish its work. Perseverance is us showing God that even though things are tough, even though we've got pressure from every side, even though the devil is screaming in our ears that we should just give it up, this is never going to work, things will never get any better, I'm a failure, I'm going to refuse to give up. The only stubbornness that I want to see in your life is this stubbornness. A stubbornness, a conviction that I will not give up because the word of God says if I persevere, God's blessing is going to come upon my life. Amen? He says, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. Give me a couple of benefits of maturity. Who can help me out? What are some of the... Say again? Ooh, I don't know. I know a lot of mature people that complain very badly. But yes, wisdom. You know, a young 20-year-old blows all their money on rubbish. Did you? Then I'm so glad that you... Yeah, okay, the other one. Mr. Paolo. A young 20-year-old, immature, gets, let's say, 4,000 rand. Oh, 4,000 rand. What can I buy? You know, run to the shop, quickly pay everything. But then comes the third or the fourth or the fifth of the month. It's like, Dad, can you borrow me this? Mom, can you borrow me that? Immaturity. Why? Because immaturity causes a lot of problems and makes us do stupid things and make stupid mistakes. Maturity means you've been there, done that, like they say, got the t-shirt, and you've learned from your mistakes that I can't spend all my money on the first, the second, and the fourth, third of the month. I have to work wisely because I have to stretch that dollar. Amen? Maturity means we make less mistakes. Maturity means we've learned a lot more. Maturity means we come to a place of better stability in our life. Now, he says here, perseverance must finish its work so that you may become mature and complete. Until you haven't come to a place of maturity, you are not complete. In other words, you are lacking. In other words, there's areas missing in your life. How do we become complete? We face many trials, many tribulations, lots of hardships, lots of problems. We refuse to give up. How many of you, honestly now, can say to me that in the last year something has spoken to you and said to you, why are you even trying? Why you want to walk this road? Why are you going to church today? I'll just stay at home. Stop praying. It's not working anyway. Stop trying to live a righteous life. This one messed with you. That one gave you a hard time and they're still standing. Why don't you do the same to other people? Have you heard that voice? Yeah, you did. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lack anything. Listen to that. I want to ask you a question. What are you lacking today? Some of you are lacking wisdom. Some of you are lacking patience. Some of you are lacking finances. Some of you are lacking love. Some of you are lacking respect. He says, yeah, not lack anything. What must we do if we want to stop lacking? That's what you need to do. Keep going. Even when, and I want to say to you, that morning when you wake up and the weight of the world is on top of you to give up, that's the morning that you better force yourself to get up, because that's the morning that you're going to go through the greatest test of your faith. But when you pass the test, there is a reward. What is the reward? Completeness, wholeness, growth. Amen? Faith. And then he goes on. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And it will be given unto him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. And such a man should not think that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man and unstable in all that he does. Do you know what one of the biggest problems is that I have seen in most Christians' lives? It's not so much that they don't want to persevere. It's the double-mindedness that they allow. How does that work? It's like, I'm coming to church today, so I've persevered to the point that now I'm not going to stay away, but I come to church and I ask for something, but in the back of my mind, I'm already thinking, but am I going to get it? What does he say there? You can't ask God for something if that's going to be your attitude, because in the end, you'll get nothing. And this is something that we have to guard against, because this is exactly how the devil is. The devil says to you, but it didn't work the last time and it didn't work the time before. Why are you asking today? You're not going to get it. So we come, we ask, and it's like, Lord, I need this and this and this and this. And in the back of your mind, there's this little voice that says, but I'm probably not going to get it. No. How do you know? Raise your hands if you can see the future. So, how do you know you're not going to get it? Fact is, you don't know, but when you start thinking that way, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he shall be. In other words, if I think I'm a failure, I'll be a failure. If I think I'm stupid, I'll be acting stupid. If I think I'm a loser, I'll be acting like a loser. And my life will reflect that. And if I ask God for something, but in the back of my mind, I think I'm not going to get it, I'm not going to get it. It says here, when we have this attitude, we become like a wave of the sea. What do the waves in the sea do? They go backwards and forwards and up and down and backwards and forwards and up and down. Is there any stability? No. God wants you to go forward. God wants you to go up and more up, not up and down. And this is what begins to happen to our lives. And this is one of the things that the devil uses against us many times. Miracles still happen, but what happens when we have to trust God for a miracle? I don't think it's going to happen. I'm going to ask for it because I have to ask for it, but it's probably not going to happen. What's that called? Double-mindedness. It's a disease, but it's also a demon. It's a demon that speaks into your ear. He knows what you need. And he knows if he can get you, there's two things that he wants to do based on what we're looking at today. One, he wants you to stop running the race. He wants you to go sit down and say, this is too much pain, too much drama, too much problems. I don't want to go through all of this. I'm stopping here. Failing to do that, he wants you to begin to doubt. Okay, run the race, but don't believe that you're going to win. Don't believe that you'll get to the end. Don't believe that God will supply your needs on the way. And unfortunately, that causes an enormous amount of problems. Because the Bible says here, that man should not think that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and unstable in all that he does. Unstable. What does that word say to you? Exactly. When instability touches you, from one minute to the other, then you here, then you there, then you there, then you there. You're never stable. And that's exactly what the devil wants. But is it just in your mind? Is it just with your body? Is it just with your relationships? No, it's with everything, because it says here, that man should not think that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man and unstable in all that he does. Your thought life will become unstable. Your business will become unstable. Your personality will become unstable. Your decision-making will become unstable. Did I mention finances? Well, let me mention them again. Your finances will become unstable because you will become unstable in all that you do. God doesn't want you to be in that place. God wants you to rise above that place. God wants you to be stable. God wants you to go forward. God wants you to run the race and get to the end. Listen to verse 12. Verse 12 says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised. Why are you running this race? Because there is a promise. What is the promise? The promise is a reward. What is the reward? The crown of life. Amen? Are you running this race for nothing? You're running it for something. Don't you agree with me? Now, I started off by speaking about miracles. You know, miracles can quite easily be taken out of context. From the point of view that a miracle is only when somebody is risen from the dead, or, you know, like somebody that had a huge sickness or infirmity that can't be cured is suddenly cured. But God does miracles all the time. And they are not confined to bodily problems. It's like when you walk into somebody's office and they put everything down and they give their undivided attention to you and help you resolve a problem that you've been battling with for who knows how long. Do you remember when you were trying to sort out Paulo's residency and, you know, all of that type of stuff? I think it's time for you to come. Georgie, just get us the microphone from there quickly, please. Thank you. It's all right. We're going to go through it. You'll remember. Praise God. All right. Good morning, Auntie. The auntie has no volume. Mr. Matthew, what must I do with you? Really?
Morning, okay. Ian.
Good morning.
Morning.
All right. Are we on the right channel now? Yeah. There we go. Okay. All right. Now, this passage that I read to you this morning, did it speak to you?
Yes.
You've been through this a couple of times, haven't you?
Yes.
If we talk about perseverance, let me just tell you something. I know her life quite well. I've known her for, let's just say, donkey's years. And I know that many times you've had trials, tribulations, and problems. How many times has the devil told you to give up?
Thousands.
It's worse than I thought. I'm so glad you came to church today. But that's the case. When things really go bad, the devil doesn't want us to go on. Why? Because he knows a breakthrough is imminent. Amen? A breakthrough is imminent. Why? Because the Bible says, perseverance must finish its work so that you may become mature and complete. and not lack anything. When we persevere, something in our life becomes complete. Now, I want to talk a bit today about how God worked in your life. One thing I've learned over the years, God is very practical. We don't all have to reinvent the wheel. Sometimes we can learn a lot from somebody else's life and life experiences. And sometimes that helps us not to make the same mistakes. Or it gives us the inspiration to keep going. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So far, we have shared how God brought healing into your life, how God took the cancer out of your body. Did we share what happened with your ex-husband when his back was broken? Have we spoken about that? All right. A very interesting thing happened. And I think that this is quite powerful because we've seen this happen a number of times. And it's a miracle. And today we're talking a bit about miracles, how God operates through miracles. Her ex-husband, there was a time in his life where he got very into racing four-wheelers. You know, those big quad bikes. And he had it all modified and it was very fast. He took me for a spin on it once. I said, never again. I'm very adventurous, but that was way too much speed for me. I like my speed in my car behind my steering wheel. I don't like to be open and exposed. And so he was doing a race, if I remember correctly. It wasn't far from here. It was just here by
Carnival.
The Carnival City. Yeah. And I think these people should pray for more wisdom. I tell you why. Because now they're racing through the veld with long grass and you can't see what's in front of you. And so guess what happened? He hit a tree stump or something. Is that right?
It was
a gully. Okay, yes. A gully. He went into like a gully or a ditch or something. Front wheels hit and he went. And then the four-wheelers, as they do, comes rolling and it rolled over him. And he broke his back in how many places?
In three places.
He broke his back in three places. The auntie phoned me in a total state of panic. She was crying so much that day that I could hardly understand what she was saying. But eventually it came out that he'd broken his back. He was...
They had to take him by helicopter. That's how bad he was. And yeah, the hospital told me that he was going to be paralyzed for the rest of his life. And that's why I panicked.
Of course, well, I must be honest with you. If I got news like that about my son or anything, I think I would be in exactly the same position. So, she phoned me. Her husband is lying in what hospital was he at that stage?
Union.
He was in the Union Hospital, and he was paralyzed. He couldn't move. I went through to see them at the hospital that day.
They had to reconstruct one of his legs.
Yes, I remember. The leg was also broken in quite a few places.
Yeah, it's got about like 27 pins in his leg.
Wow. Okay. So it wasn't a Mickey Mouse accident. It was a
big accident.
I went to pray for him in the hospital. And when I went there, he was still completely paralyzed. He couldn't move. He couldn't do anything.
He was just shouting and swearing with all the nurses. He wanted to smoke. He wanted to go outside, but he couldn't move.
Wow. Probably God was teaching him some patience as well. It didn't work because he's still the same, but anyway.
He's still the same.
We prayed that day. I came home. And eventually, he had to come home. He was in a wheelchair.
He was there for a couple of weeks. And then eventually they sent him home in a wheelchair.
So, you had to feed him. You had to dress him. You had to do everything for him.
I had to bath him. I had to dress him. I had to do everything for him. Okay. Me and my children and people around me.
Now, there is a very interesting story in the Bible. Probably you've read it. A woman comes to Jesus and she says, Lord, Lord, please have mercy on my daughter. Because she is sorely vexed by a demon, and when this thing comes upon her, it gives her a hard time, blah, 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 and it's tried to kill her, and we don't know what to do anymore. It turns out this woman was not a Jew. So Jesus said to the woman, man, it's not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Go to your own prophets to be healed. But this woman would not take no for an answer. What does perseverance do? Well, what did we see? What does perseverance do? Well, perseverance gives a reward. You see, this lady had just, there's no other way to put it, she's just been insulted. Because if you listen carefully, Jesus just called her a dog. Now, there's a couple of ways that she could respond to that. She could take offense, which is what I think 99.9% of us in this room would do. Who the hell do you think you are? You know, hoying all the body moves and like some finger language and there we go. Now, my question is, why did Jesus speak to her this way? I can't prove it to you. But Jesus is the Word and the Word is Jesus. And He understands the principles of God's kingdom very well. And He understands if you really, really need completeness, wholeness, you have to persevere. If He gave her what she asked for instantly, it would probably not have worked. She needed to fight for it in a sense. She needed to persevere. So she did not stop. She kept asking Him. And eventually she said to Him, well, Lord, okay, fine. You're calling me a dog. I'm not sure why. I accept it. But if I'm a dog, the dog can normally eat the crumbs that fall from the table. I'm not asking for the food, the bread that belongs to the children. A scrap is enough for me. Does that speak to you?
Yes.
And Jesus looked at this woman. And I think He was like, in His mind, He was like, well done. You did not give up. You see, this is the difference between people that get somewhere in life and people that don't. People that get somewhere in life do not let trials, tribulations, and problems stop them. They use it to propel them forward. If you want to get angry at something, use the anger to push you forward, not to go sit down.
Rian, every time I have a big problem, I get on the word that when the Lord says, if you need me, you call me on my name. And every time I go through a bad time, I always say, Lord, in your word, you say, if we need wisdom, we come to you. If we need healing, I always like, I remind the Lord of what He promised to us. I also hold on many words many times. Amen. Through my trials and tribulations.
Well, you know, the auntie is in a really interesting position. God has done a lot of wonderful things for her in her life. And the other day, we were sharing with somebody. And she said to me, wow, you know what? I reminded her about a couple of things that God had done for her in her life. And she said to me, you know what? I forgot about all of these things. But when I heard you talk about all these things, wow, God's done so many things for me. Do you remember
that? He did, yes.
Yes. Getting back to the woman. The woman says to Jesus, fine. If I'm a dog, I'm a dog. I can't change that. But I'm just asking for a little scrap, please. Jesus looked at the woman and He said, woman, you have great faith.
Amen.
In fact, I haven't even seen such faith in my own people. Go. It will be as you have asked. And the Bible says when she got home, her daughter was cured. And when she asked them for the time, they worked out the time and she said, but that's exactly when the man told me, my daughter will be made whole. Here's my question. What healed the daughter?
The woman's faith.
No. Two things. The first thing was the woman's perseverance, because if she left when Jesus said no the first time, her daughter would still not be healed. Does that speak to you?
Yes.
Why does the devil want us to give up? Because if we give up, the miracle that's just about to break through cannot break through. And you can't blame the devil for you giving up. You gotta blame yourself, because you're the one that decided to give up. The devil can entice you to give up, but the devil can't make you give up. It's a choice that we have. The woman didn't give up. Because she did not give up, it was reckoned to her as perseverance. And when she persevered long enough, it was reckoned to her as faith. And when she had enough faith, it was reckoned to her as cause for a miracle. That night, the auntie, many years ago, she came to church one night and she said to me, as you know, my husband is in this wheelchair. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And you asked if we could pray for him to be healed.
Yeah.
And that night I said to her, you know what? Even though your husband is not here, and I used the scripture that we just spoke about with the woman, the Syrophoenician woman who asked on behalf of her daughter. God can heal another person on behalf of a person that is present. I'm interrupting myself, but I want to share something very quickly. I was preaching in a church in Cape Town. A gentleman comes up to me and he says to me, "Please, my brother is in London, in the United Kingdom. This and this and this and this is what's all wrong with him. He has hardly any life. He had lots of sickness, lots of infirmity, lots of problems." I said to the gentleman, "You know what? I know your brother should be here, but he's not. But you are here. Do you have faith?" He said, "Yes, yes, I do. I believe that God can do this." I said, "I believe too. I'm going to lay my hands on you and I'm going to pray. And we're going to ask God that as the power of God comes upon you, wherever your brother might be, it's going to happen to him too." I said to him, "And you know what? If something happens, you come to me tomorrow," because I preached there for 3 or 4 days. "You come to me tomorrow and you tell me." Do you know what happened the next morning? That was, I think, the Saturday night. Sunday morning, I'm in the same church. I'm preaching again. As I get to the church, this gentleman is waiting for me. He says, "Man, you cannot believe what happened." I said, "No, tell me." He says, "When I got home, my phone was ringing. It was my brother from the UK. He was busy sleeping. And while he was sleeping, something began to happen to his body. His whole body began to shake. And then something began to scream out of him." I do believe he got delivered from a demon. I wasn't there. I couldn't see. But from what he was explaining to me, some spirit of infirmity or something came out of the brother. He says, and the brother said to him, "I am healed. I don't have any of the symptoms anymore. I don't have any of the problems." And then he said to the brother, "We prayed for you at church. The pastor laid his hands on me and prayed." We did exactly the same thing that night.
Yes, we did.
You came forward. I shared with you the story and I said, why are these things in the Bible? Is it just to give us interesting reading? Or is it to teach us the principles of the kingdom of God? How many of you know the Bible says God is the same yesterday and today and forever? And if God worked one way through Jesus, explain to me, why can't he work that way today? So I laid hands on her and we began to pray. And something very weird happened to you.
I start to feel this warmth come over my spine. And I remember that I curved back. But I can't do that. I don't know what happened.
I don't think anybody could do what I saw that night. Her whole body. You know, a gymnast, a very gifted gymnast can do that. You know when they stand and they're looking this way and then their body goes back.
Yeah.
And they actually touch the floor with their arms.
But
she did that.
I never then on the floor. My body was like an arch.
Yes.
It stayed like that for a long time. And it was very painful. And I don't remember what happened next.
Well, whatever happened, it took about plus minus 5 minutes. Tell us what happened when you got home.
When I got home, before I left home, I bathed him and I feed him and I left him on the left-hand side of the bed. And he couldn't move. He couldn't move his arms. He couldn't do anything. When I arrived home, I saw that his position, he wasn't the same. But he was crying and he was telling me that something happened to him.
Can I ask a question? You are saying his position wasn't the same. In other words, when you left him in the bed, you left him in a certain place, in a certain position.
Yes, I left almost like pillows at the back. Almost, I pushed him forward, like almost sit
okay.
in the bed, on the pillows, and then his legs straight.
So when you came back, what was he?
He had a brace, you know, that thick brace.
Yeah, that big brace that you had to wear. Yeah.
When I came back, his legs, they're on the side of the bed.
In other words, his bottom half had moved.
Moved.
Which is the part that couldn't move.
Yes.
Because his arms could move, eh?
Yes.
But not his lower body.
His lower body, yes.
And you say he was crying.
And he was crying.
And then what happened?
And I knew he was no one at home with him because the kids stay with me and he was alone. And he was no one at home to move him. But he was crying and in the beginning I couldn't understand, but I saw that his body wasn't in the same position. And then I asked him, "Why are you crying? What happened?" He says he doesn't know, but he can move. And I almost had a panic attack myself because I didn't know what to do and what to say. But yes, I started also crying and I could see in the beginning he was afraid to move because he was afraid of being hurt. But he said to me, I have feelings on my legs and I can move my legs. Man, I went on the phone and I phoned everybody. I went crazy. I just phoned everybody to say that he's moving. Huh?
Amen. And that was probably 1 o'clock in the morning,
it
right?
That was probably 1 o'clock in the morning.
Because you phoned me 1 o'clock in the morning. I remember, yeah. I'm not complaining. It was very good news. Yeah. And we were very happy. Give the Lord a big hand, please. This is very soft. Sorry. Okay.
And then we didn't sleep that night. Me, I didn't want to sleep because I saw what was happening.
All right, we'll move a bit back from the speaker. Just put it up a little bit because I'm afraid the audio is going to be very soft. Okay.
Then I start helping him to get up. And then in the beginning he said to me, no, don't touch me, don't touch me. I'm scared. And I was also scared because I didn't want to do more damage. But then slowly he started dragging his feet one by one.
It's better, thanks.
And step by step. And then I was hysterical. I was crying, I was screaming. My kids, I don't know if they remember that day. My house, he was a madhouse, and I knew it in my heart that God healed him. He was not walking properly yet, but he was moving the legs, and according to doctors, he will never move the legs again. And then that same morning, probably 5-6 o'clock in the morning, he gave his first steps.
Amen.
And I think I actually fainted because I was...
She probably did.
The energy in me was so... horrible that I don't know what happened there.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, bless God. And do you agree with me that there God did a miracle for your family?
Oh, yes.
You know, her husband had a business. And it's a very hands-on business. They do these overhead sprinklers and, you know, pipe work and heavy work, heavy duty work. And you used to have to do all of that.
Do you know... I used to hear my husband talk about the business, and now and then I used to go with him, help him after hours, helping with the stepladder, this and that, but I never did anything. But even there, the Lord, he gave me the wisdom to deal with the business. I had to run that business knowing nothing about the business. And the fact is, how I did it, only God knows. I ran that business, and I didn't know. And now today, looking back, probably was a way of God. It put me in charge of the business because when my husband had accident, we were actually almost bankrupt. And I didn't know. When I took care of the business, I saw the damage, financial, that he was in my life because I trust everything with him. I thought he was good with money. And when God put that company in my hands, it was the first time that actually we prospered. And I didn't know nothing about fire control.
So, even though God healed him, God also used what happened there
to save
to
the
change
business.
Things a bit,
yes.
So that there could be more stability.
My
in
house,
life.
He was in 2 months arrears. I didn't know.
Aye.
He owed a lot of things. My husband, he was a type of man. I don't want to say bad things, but the reality, why I say this, I think God, he allowed this to happen for a reason. Looking back now, I see this way. First, it was his toys, and second, it was the payments. And you know, you can never go far this way. And I believe that this accident that happened with him, he saved his life, he saved his business, and he saved our family.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand, please. Listen to these words. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, I want to ask you a question. When you heard that your husband had been in an accident, he had broken his back, that he will never walk again, did you feel joyful?
No.
But looking back at what God did for you, do you feel joyful?
Yes.
Do you understand why God wants us to feel joy? Because if God is in control, he will turn things around for his glory and for your benefit. Amen?
Amen.
And this is such an amazing testimony. Now, yes. There's something else that I was just thinking of now. When we mentioned Mr. Paolo. Mr. Paolo, come here quickly, please. I'm so glad you combed your hair today. Because I'm going to put you on camera. There we go. Yeah. You know, when I grew up, there was this program on TV called The Fresh Prince. He used to have a bit of a haircut like that, yeah. The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, yeah. Come here, my boy. All right. That was Will Smith, yes, yes. All right, how's it, Paulo? How are you?
I'm good, and you?
Yeah, take the microphone a bit.
I'm good, and you?
All right, now I'm blessed, thank you. I didn't arrange this with you. We're just doing a bit of impromptu work. Who's this?
It's my mom.
Ah, there we go. All right, give your mom the microphone. You adopted Paulo when he was what age?
About 8 years old. 13, sorry, 13
okay,
years old.
Okay, you adopted him when he was 13 mm-hmm. years old.
It was long ago, I don't really
And then you went through a process of trying to get all his paperwork sorted
yes.
out. Now, taking into account we do live in South Africa, where paperwork is like, I don't want to call it a headache because it's a million times worse than that, but it's sometimes almost impossible. Just share with them a little bit. What? It's a mystery, yes. That's probably a good way to put it.
When Paul came to stay with me, I didn't have no paperwork about Paulo. Paulo lost his parents, and he was living with my brothers in my brother's business with his father. And then one day my dad came to me and says, is this little boy that his father disappeared and is there by himself? You know, me, I got a heart for everybody. I said to my dad, go and fetch him and bring him home. I'll take care of him. And my dad did. He brought him home. And yeah, we fell in love with Paul from day one. And
oh, but he's so cute. Don't
he's so cute. And then it took me quite a few years. You know, first they didn't know who he was. And he always told me that he born in South Africa, but he was nothing to prove. And then I had to involve myself with social workers. Then they took us to Ilbrow is a clinic there. They measure your bones to see more or less because they always doubt his age because he's short. Paul is what, 25 years old, and he looks like a 14 years old boy. And they had to go and I don't know what to call that in English. And when they take him to a medical examination to measure your bones and see more or less your age. What you call that? I don't know.
Okay, it doesn't matter.
No, it's not bone density, something else.
But
okay, it doesn't matter. The government.
They did tests.
They did tests to prove if really was the age that he said that he was, and he confirmed yes, he was more or less that age. But in nothing else. And then the Home Affairs, I approached Home Affairs, I don't know how many times to try to help him because he knew his surname, he knew the parents' name, it was easier just for us to apply for something and see if this was legal. But Home Affairs was never interested to help me. And many times I had fights at the Home Affairs, like frustration. I was on a queue asking them, please help me with this child because he needs help.
For those people who don't know how Home Affairs works, you stand in this queue for 2 hours to get to the front for them to tell you that you should actually be on the second floor. Then you go stand there for 2 hours and then they tell you, oh, but you first have to go and get the form from that other building on the other side of town. And then you go back to the third floor.
Yeah.
And this can happen the whole day, isn't it?
Yeah. And that it went on for 5, 6, 7 years. I don't even remember how many years it was because it was quite a long ago already. And then I had this frustration in me because the police could come anytime in my property and remove him from my property.
Because now there was doubt that he was a South African citizen.
Yes, they thought I brought him from a foreigner country into this country and now I came up with a story. They didn't believe in me. I had to go to the police station, make an affidavit to say, I didn't kidnap this child. I have this child in my house. I'm waiting for the law to give an opportunity for me to take care of him. But this is what is happening. No one wants to help me. And then one day, the social workers, they came to my house to check on my property, if I had the means to look after him, if he has a room, if he has clothes, shoes, everything. And they did so that I had the means to take care of him. But the lady told me straight, the police can come anytime and remove him out of your property. I didn't want that to happen to him. And I said to him, but I don't understand. If I have the means, why the police is going to come and take him out of my property? No, that's the law. But then I made up my mind. I don't want this child to go nowhere. I'm going to fight for him. And I said to the social worker, she was very angry with me. Do you remember that woman? I said to her, you know what? As long as I live, I'm going to fight for this child. I'm not going to let him go nowhere. And I did. It took me years, fights. A judge, he threw me out of the court because my phone, I went to the court, the minors court, to apply for him to be with me. And I made a mistake not switch off my phone. I didn't even know the phone it was going to ring. The next thing, my phone ring when I was in a box. And then the judge threw me out of court and he says to me, I must never appear in front of him. I felt offended because I didn't commit any crime. I was trying to help this child, and now this judge is full of, got out of my court. And I knew it. I'm going to battle to fix his papers. And one Sunday, day in Gedult, you preach a word about something. I don't remember what the word was. And then I felt it in my heart that you should pray for him to get the papers, because I was thinking to go on Monday to Home Affairs with him. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to Home Affairs. We better pray for this. And something happened. I don't know what happened. Polly went down. Me, I felt something.
I know what happened that day. Can you remember what happened? All right, God gave him a word that his life was about to change.
Yes. Amen. And he did. That was a Sunday. On Monday or Tuesday, I can't confirm, we went to Home Affairs in town. That's the most difficult Home Affairs, but I had to go there because for some reason they sent me there. And I'll never forget, I went in and I said, Lord, yesterday you gave a word in the church, and I'm climbing on this word, Lord, and I believe that today you can help me. Out of the blue, one of the windows, I don't remember if it was number 6 or number 7 or number 8, one of the windows you was empty. Normally that is a big queue in that window. He was a very nice gentleman. I told him about Paulo's problem.
Okay, there's the first miracle.
Yes.
There was a nice person at Home Affairs.
Yes.
God was busy.
And he was empty. I explained to this gentleman about Paulo was with me. I explained to him, and the gentleman, he listened to me, said he written everything down, he written his surname, and he said to me, wait here. He went in, I don't know what he did, he went to work in another computer, and the next thing this man brings Paulo's parents' names, Paulo's names, and all his identification. That everybody...
In other words, the stuff that you've been trying to do for 5 years...
6-7 years, I don't know.
And really. Nobody was interested to help you.
Everybody gave me think that this is a legal child. And what happened there then? The gentleman says to me, I want you to go outside, take photos. We took photos. Photos. But look, now I need 30 rands or 32 rands, something like that, for the photos. Now I just have a 200 rands note, and there was no change. I'm not going to give a 200 rands note when it's 32 rands. Out of nowhere comes a man with that money, the money that I needed for the photos. Man, I didn't ask anybody. This man come to me. He gave him the money, says, take it. And I say, I will change it and I'll give it back. When I look back, the money was gone. I never, ever saw that man again.
Okay, so to understand now, you there in the bottom of downtown Johannesburg.
Yes, outside of the Home Affairs.
Comes walking up to you.
To me with the money for the photos.
This is what you need.
I sent him to try to change me the money, but he couldn't change the money. But that man came out of nowhere. And he said to me, take the money. And then I said to him, I'll change my money now and I'll give it to you. But then when I turned to speak to the man it was gone.
Oh, wow.
It disappeared.
Wow. Sure. Yeah.
And then I took the photos. I took the photos inside. The guy, nice guy that he saw us, he did all the paperwork, and then Paulo applied for his first ID book as a South African citizen, because he was a South African citizen.
Amen.
Yeah.
So you see, Auntie.
To me, I still say that he was an angel of God, that he came to me that day.
Because
when I look back, no one saw that man.
Yes.
Because when I looked at the lady, it was a lady selling tomatoes and bananas. And I said to the lady, the gentleman that he gave me, she says, no, I didn't saw anybody. No one saw the man. Only me that I saw the man. I'm thinking, God, he sent someone to give me the money? Because all this man, he knew that I need that money, the right money that I need for the photos.
Well, what do you think now?
I think it was God. Because if I didn't have that photos they taken that day, this will never happen with him.
Amen.
Yeah.
So, God sent an angel with the correct amount of money to give it to her, because if you came back the following day, the gentleman that helped you would
even
not
the
be
man
there.
That he was behind the desk, I still believe he was an angel of God, because the way this man did everything with us, it's not a normal person that works in that place.
No, because they're not friendly.
No.
I've been there many times. Okay. All right.
God uses people, no, but yeah.
Paulo, we're happy for you. God bless you. Thank you. You can sit down.
And then I prove everybody, the court and
the
social
workers,
they are lazy. Now they are, because this child, he was almost being in jail because of someone's incompetence. That I always spoke the truth. I always say the truth. And I was being treated like a criminal with no reason.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? Today we're talking a bit about miracles and things that God has done in people's lives. And if you listen to her and you listen to how God has worked in her life, there's been a lot of miracles. Can you see that?
I can write encyclopedia.
You can write an encyclopedia. Mm-hmm. Now, listen to this again. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. You know, every time when the social workers said to her that the police are going to come and take this child, they were trying to tell you to let the child go.
Yes.
And the judge didn't want to help you. The system was against you. But what did you do? You persevered.
Yes.
And what did you get in the end?
A reward.
You got a reward.
Yes.
Okay, now, you sitting here today and you listening to all of this stuff. Now, there's some of you, yeah, you're going through what she's going through in your own way. You keep bumping against the system. Things just don't seem to want to go your way. And there's a sword hanging over your head that you must just give up and it's not going to work. What is God telling you today? Perseverance will always bring a reward. You know, if I think about what God did for her, I do believe too. And I told her the following day when she phoned me, I said to her, but then there were two angels involved, because the person behind the counter was an angel. Because these people are generally not helpful at all. Their whole attitude is, you're wasting my time. Where's your paperwork?
And you know,
that's
Ryan,
wrong. Go.
The funny thing, the time that we went was a peak time. It was between 10 and 11.
And suddenly that gate
that
opened.
Thing, it was empty. It's impossible, because it's where people apply for ID books. Mm. It's impossible.
And then, it's just before closing time. She needs certain documents. She needs... I remember from your previous testimony, you needed a photocopy.
Photocopy.
And you needed photos.
Yes.
Which now she needs to get, because in 20 minutes time or 10 minutes time, the place is closing and the guy's waiting for her to bring it, because he says, I'll help you now. What must God do?
Yeah.
He sends another angel who's got the exact amount of money.
Yes.
To give to her. To pay the guy that has to do the photocopy and the guy that has to do the photos.
Yes.
Because they don't have change for a 200 rand note.
Yes.
But what did she put in before all that happened?
Perseverance.
Commitment. Dedication. And what did God turn that into? God turned that into faith. And listen to what it says here. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may mature and complete and not lack anything. What did God give you? The very thing that you needed. Amen. I want to end off what we're going to talk about today with one other interesting thing that happened in her life. That
it's actually funny that every time I have to share my life, my testimony, I end up in jail.
Okay, we can... Do you want to talk about that?
It's true.
All right. I think that's a very interesting one.
Do you know that I stopped... For many years, I stopped to share my testimony because the devil always put me in jail.
And it's not a joke.
And it's not a joke. It's my testimony.
I had to go fetch her twice. I'm dead serious.
We did.
All right. So let's talk about that just very quickly.
Let's talk about that.
We're going to share her testimony.
For the first time.
Okay.
No, second time.
Second time. Mm. Tell them what happened.
My daughter, she was in a school. I'm not going to name names. And the next thing, one of the teachers, he pushed her down the stairs and she broke her arm. They called me to come and fetch her, and when I find out the story that this man, he should be there taking care of the children, not being abusing them, did my daughter that, I was mad. And I told him inside of the school, I'm not going to do nothing to you, but I'm waiting to wait for you outside. And it's been between me and you. And I was going to do something to this man, because he's a man, he should be there taking care of my kids, not doing what he did. Man, she had to go for an operation. The next time I got the police come and arrest me. by the gate of the school. I did nothing to this man. I just told him that I was going to wait for him outside.
It's not what she said, it's the way she said it.
Probably. Yeah. And that night I was going to share my testimony. I end up in jail.
You did.
I end up in a cell with 27 women and the child sham. And then I was the only white person in a cell, and I had to go to court, I had to go to town, appear before the judge. They dropped the case because it was no case. But in between that, the judge was not interested. He was going to put me in jail for a couple of days. And I refused. I was there in the jail sitting on the floor, and I was talking to God, and I said, Lord, tonight I have to go and share my testimony. And I'm sitting in this jail. If it's not your will, it's not your will. But Lord, I don't think this is the right place for me, because I did nothing and this man did what he did to my daughter. If I'm wrong, please forgive me. And then the next thing, I have this in my heart to say, preach for all this woman, all these ladies in the cell. And I did.
Do you know what happened to Paul when he went to prison?
Yeah.
God opened the doors for him, right?
Yeah.
Because he was preaching the word. Amen.
The next thing, I'm preaching for 27 women in a jail.
Shit.
And then him and my husband, they're trying to bail me out. And that it was the second time.
That was the
now
second time.
My lawyer came and paid the bail. And he took me out.
The first time your lawyer paid the bail.
Yes.
Second time. Can we talk about that quickly?
Mm.
It's the morning of her testimony. We were going to be seeing some people at her house. She says to me, oh, I've got big problems. I have to go to the police station. I said, why? She says, no, apparently there's a warrant for my arrest.
My lawyer phoned me a day before. I was at the bookkeeper, say, listen, you are home. I said, no, why? I suggest you must go home and don't open the door to no one because you got a warrant of arrest. I said, but what I have done wrong? I did nothing wrong. He says to me, I don't know, but go home. Don't open the gate. Tomorrow I'll meet you at the police station. The next morning, I go to police station Boysens, and yeah, it was a warrant of arrest for me. They arrest me again.
I took her to the police station.
Yeah.
I drove her there. The next thing I know, here comes the policeman with her in tow, and I'm told she's going to court now because she's been arrested. I'm thinking, what? I say to the guy, but what jail are you taking her? Where is she going to go? So he says to me, we're taking her there. You need to go through there. So I phoned her husband, and I said to him, listen, yeah, we got big dwang. I don't know what's going on here, but your wife has just been arrested and they've taken her down to this place, and we better go there and try and make a plan to get her out. In the meantime, she was arrested. And if I remember correctly, what had happened was the previous judge
that yes. defined the known case with me, he forgot to sign the file and stamp it and go into the archives. That means I was an attempt of court.
Yeah.
But it was the judge's fault,
because
not mine.
Because one of the officials had not done their work properly.
But I believe the devil did that.
No, it was the devil, of course. Okay, so, here we go. Me and her husband get to the courts, and now she's up for contempt of court. She gets before the judge. She's trying to tell the judge her story. I'm sitting there. It looks like I'm living in the Twilight Zone. Every time she opens her mouth to try and say something, we phoned the bloody lawyer, and the oak doesn't come. Now she's standing in front of the judge without representation. When she tries to speak, the judge tells her, be quiet. When she tries to say, but judge, be quiet. This judge would not let her say one word. And I was sitting behind her. I said, auntie, please just zip it, because now they're going to give you 5 years. Just be quiet. Okay, now she's quiet. In the meantime, I'm talking to everybody that I can see that could maybe help, because, and I'm praying. I tell you what, I'm up and down the court corridors. I bind you, devil. And you know what? A lawyer comes and starts talking to us. I say to him, listen, yeah, please, can you help us? This is what's happening. We're waiting because now her lawyer, eventually we got hold of him and he says he's coming. But now he's taking so long that she's now already been sentenced.
I was already chained on my legs on the way to the van.
Yeah. So this guy says to me, okay, what's the story? I tell him the story. He says to me, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the docket and I'm going to put it back. In other words, she has to appear before the judge again. I say, can you do that? He says, yes. I say, okay, thank you. God bless you. He goes in there. He was quite, let's just say he was quite a hit with the ladies in the office. He was a real Casanova. So he's walking in there and he's like hoying, strutting his stuff and chatting up this one, chatting up that one. The next moment, there goes the file. Now, she's already being put into the van.
I was on my way to the van, yes.
Yeah.
With other people.
And then you heard somebody calling a name.
And then they didn't even pronounce my name. My name is Hajam. And then I hear this guy, Mrs. Hayam.
So you are a Hayam.
Hayam.
Okay.
And then I thought, that's me.
So they called you back.
They called me back. They took that thing out.
In the meantime,
they called me back.
What had happened is her lawyer had now arrived. And he had the proof that was never entered into whatever you, evidence. He had the proof. And so they put her back before the same judge. But this time there was a lawyer representing her and the lawyer is allowed to talk in court. This judge was very racist. And I could see she wanted this woman to go to prison. She was not interested in any story. The lawyer said, Your Honor, can I approach? And he showed her the proof. Of course, now the judge can't do nothing. God helped her. She shared her testimony that night.
I did.
And a lot of people were blessed.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand. How much time have I got left? I probably got no time. All right, we're going to stop there for now. What do I want you to take out of this? Sometimes life is difficult. Sometimes we battle a lot. Sometimes we don't know where our next breakthrough is going to come from. When you serve God, God will make a way. It's your decision to keep going. That other voice is going to tell you, give up. Why are you even trying? It's worthless. What? You keep going. Because when you keep going, it's perseverance. When perseverance completes its work in you, it becomes faith. When faith completes its work in you, there is a reward. Amen? Does God still do miracles today? Every single day. And many times we don't even realize how gigantic the miracle was because to us it's small. But we don't know how many things have to fall into place behind the scenes for the power of God to break through in that way. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys.
I want to say something that I didn't say, but every time I used to share my testimony, people that God used to use my testimony to set people free. And I believe the many times that the devil stopped me, it was because he knew it, what he was coming for a lot of people. That's why he did it, what he did it.
And that is true.